Welcome to episode 7 in the Digital 2018 Live series. These are a series of podcasts. My name's Neil Wilkins. We're covering a whole range of best practice and how to create exceptional social media content, how to optimize your website, how to create a digital marketing strategy, how to understand all of the various trends and best practice in 2018. There's a whole host of things that we've already covered in the first 6 episodes. This is episode 7 now, looking at websites and how you create a website presence to optimize your digital marketing and very much not consider your website as the be-all and end-all and the only thing that you really need to do. Some people and some organizations think we have a website, so therefore our problems are solved. A website is just another digital marketing tool, and if we consider it as such, then we can start to give it a very unique and very specific purpose and really start to give it a job description against which it can perform. And once we do that, things start to get really interesting, hopefully really productive, really efficient, and really good in terms of your digital marketing activities. So over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to explore and cover a number of different elements as part of the delivery phase of the digital marketing experience in 2018. The first 6 episodes that we've covered, we've looked at planning, we've looked at all the various kind of things like trends, all the best practice that you can consider when you actually consider your marketing activities. And what we're doing in this particular episode is looking at the website as an extension of optimizing the customer experience. We've looked at developing customer personas, and of course, as we all know, those are really important in terms of targeting your activity. So what we're creating as part of that digital experience, as part of the marketing customer journey, is a whole range of different tools that we're going to then be able to use to take people on a step-by-step series of engagement points, and websites tend to be one of the significant ones in that particular exercise. So the things that we're going to look at as we go through this particular episode are thinking about your website as a digital hub. In other words, a lot of things can point towards the website as a central focal point where you can obviously provide a specific and choreographed experience for your customers to get them to engage, to get them to buy into the concept of a relationship with you, to make them aware obviously of the products and services that you offer. But in terms of the importance, very, very much thinking of this about increasing and improving on the engagement that you have with them. We'll also have a look at how we can use blogs and people as two very significant elements of content creation within a website to make it so much more than just a catalogue or a product brochure. Still, even many, many decades later after the first websites appeared, a lot of organisations are still using the website as a product catalogue, and there is so much more that we can do as marketers, as business owners, as entrepreneurs to actually use the website in a more creative and much, much more engaging and optimized way. And talking of optimizing, that is also something that's very, very important. Everybody has heard of search engine optimization, and that will continue to be a very important means of getting people to your front door. But as the name suggests, search engine optimization is just about appealing to the search engines, Google and the rest. That just brings people to the front door. What we really need to do is, once people are at the front door, is to then provide them with customer optimized services and customer optimized engagement. In other words, thinking also of customer optimization as well as search engine optimization. So bringing them to the front door, yes, of course, we need to increase the reach of our website so that people are aware that they're there and how to get to specific areas of them, but then optimizing them once that experience has happened so that they remain in the site for a predetermined amount of time so that they engage with the content that we need them to, and so that then we can encourage them to behave and interact in a way that we would like them to, so that we get some great value from their visit, but also they get some great value from that same visit. And there's a new kid on the block, as there always is, as we look at the trends and the way that digital marketing is expanding and improving as an opportunity for us as marketers and business owners. And this is what we call position zero. Everybody was always clamoring to try and be in position one on page one of the search engine rankings. Well, we now have a position zero, which is actually even better and is at a higher level and is more in your face as a customer. And that is position zero. And position zero is also called Google Snippets, and we'll explore a little bit about what those are and how you can start to hopefully position your organization and your brands and your products and services to get them towards that position zero, so that when somebody searches for something like you do, that you are found, and you are found regularly and you're found readily by those same people that you're after. So let's start by thinking of kind of the purpose really of the website. And for most organizations, for most people who have websites, it is as a digital hub. Now, if your website is a hub, you need to start considering this as part of your marketing team. So I'm really thinking of this almost more than just a digital tool, but think of it as a person, because this person really is available and open for business 24/7. So as you sleep, as you go about your everyday life, over and beyond creating your brand awareness and selling products and services and marketing, your website is still open for business. So it is one member of your marketing team, and if you're a sole practitioner or a sole entrepreneur, then this is a very, very important partner of you in your business activities. So think of your website as a member of your team. And once you do that, and think of it also as a hub, in other words, all of the kind of things that you do, social media activity, day-to-day networking, word of mouth, that at some point in that early engagement with a prospect or with a new customer, the website is part of a hub approach. In other words, everything points to very specific areas on your website so that people can engage more and you can start to encourage them to build the kind of faith and trust that they need in you to actually purchase your products and services and to maintain an ongoing relationship with them. So one of the things that you really need to start considering is, how are you going to commit to your website? In other words, how are you going to develop specific time? And this is not just once a month where you go and just do a little refresh of it. This is ongoing, regular, always on engagement with your website. You have to keep it fresh. Any old looking, outdated, irrelevant content is going to drag your website way, way down below what it used to be. For lots of people, lots of organizations, even in slow moving sectors and markets, having a fresh, updated and very relevant website is an absolute must. It is the new ground zero in digital marketing. Your website has to look like it was updated today or yesterday. It has to look, on the very first person's visit, it has to look like it is a fresh and updated place to be. So how are you going to commit your time, your energies, your budget, your resources to achieving that? Well, it is about considering the timing and considering the commitment that you're going to put into your website. It is absolutely vital, if you're going on this digital marketing journey, that you consider that. It is no good just doing your first month's activity and thinking, hey, we've got a website that's updated, we search engine optimized it this month, so next month is going to be all done and dusted. It is not, because as soon as you've done some activity, it is almost by default then out of date. So you have to commit to long term and in total engagement in your website. So this is like a relentless pursuit of web activity. So you've got to decide who is going to be responsible for that. If it's not you, are you going to outsource it? If you're not going to outsource it, who in your business is going to be able to keep this website updated with fresh, relevant, informed and current content? Absolutely vital that you do that from the homepage and onwards. Websites that are, seemingly out of date with last month's content, or when somebody comes back for a second time, it's still what they saw the previous visit. There is work to be done. So you need to make a pledge to yourself that you are going to achieve this, because without that, you're always going to be on the back foot, and just know that one of your competitors is going to be doing it. So you have to, as a bare minimum, commit to doing this, if not on a daily basis, on a every other day basis. You know, weekly is still not good enough. You have to be thinking about how you're going to keep your website refreshed. Now, of course, most websites now have the ability to serve content from elsewhere to make it look like your website is updated. And one of the very traditional and very sort of popular ways of doing that is to have something like, say, a Twitter feed on the landing page where your customer sort of begins their journey through your website. So if your Twitter feed is something you find easier to keep up to date, then feed that through to a specific area or a specific widget. And if you use WordPress as your platform for developing and adding content to your website, then it's very easy to add a WordPress snippet to the homepage or to a landing page for a customer, so that every time they come back, they'll see fresh new content. Okay, it's served from elsewhere, but it's at least fresh new content. So they will be seeing something different that they can then click on and enjoy a journey through. So it's really important that you commit to this, become really loyal to your website. Think of it as a member of staff. You wouldn't let them sit in the corner and not talk to them. So make sure you're constantly talking to your website. One of the other things that you can consider actually as you start to think about how you're going to keep this content fresh on your website is to think about a blog. Now, we covered blog when we looked at content creation in the previous episode, but when it comes to your website, it is a very, very good way of keeping things current, relevant and informed. And as we discussed on a number of occasions in previous episodes, this is what your customer is looking to you to deliver. So to be current, to be relevant and to be informed. So even short blogs of just, you know, a few paragraphs that give some insightful views or reviews of something, or just your opinion on a particular subject, it helps to build thought leadership. It helps to really create this thing as a hub so that people have a purpose and a reason to keep coming back. Another thing you can consider for keeping content nicely updated and refreshed and up to date is to think about the people in your organization or beyond your organization. It could be business partners and affiliates, people you collaborate with on specific projects, but start to use them to come up with fresh new thinking and fresh new ideas. So how can you use those people and, you know, what they're doing, their activities, to feed content into your website? And also think about those people. Will they take responsibility? Does it always have to come through you? Can you give access to other people so that they can publish directly? Once you've agreed, you know, the terms of engagement, the kind of style of and tone of voice of the content that you're publishing, can you leave that with them to then be publishing, either documenting a particular journey or be publishing stuff on a particular project that you're doing some work with them for? If you feel it's going to resonate on an ongoing basis with your customer, this is going to be something that will create a real impetus and a real reason for them to keep coming back to you. So it can be a very effective way of creating ongoing reasons for people to revisit your site. So blogs and people are great ways of keeping your website fresh. So if you're not constantly introducing and launching new products or services, then think about balancing that with something that's over and beyond what you're trying to sell. Remember that storytelling is everything. So blogs and people stories is another great way of keeping that relentless feed of fresh new content on your site. And as you do it, think about how you are going to appeal initially to the search engines. What kind of content are you publishing and how much content is required? Well, one of the first things is to think that when we publish content on a website, we do not have to be thinking about huge amounts of content. You know, the ideal blog, for example, is around 350 to 400 words long. So we're not talking about page after page of content. Remember, most people consume content on a small screen, either a smartphone or a tablet. So small is good, little and often. Small amounts of very digestible content is great. Your website will also certainly benefit from what we call easy skimming. In other words, you know, use small paragraphs. Make bold or italic things that you want to draw your reader or your visitor's attention to. Break things up into little sections. Use images, use charts and tables. Use different size of fonts to highlight particular content you want them to consume. Make sure that you've got a very, very descriptive character as well. One of the things that makes your site very search engine optimized is to have a very descriptive and what we call a long tail title. And also, if you're using images to correspond with that, make sure that those images are actually titled and named and that they have descriptions or alt text, ALT, alt text, alternative text, that describes that image in the light of the content that you're publishing, so that everything joins seamlessly up. Because what Google and the other search engines look for here is synergy and integrated content. They want to see that the image applies to that article. They want to see that the title describes what you're going to be writing about. They want to see that the descriptions and the alt text around that particular image for that particular blog or that particular news article is all relevant to the story that you're trying to tell. And also think about the keywords. These keywords that describe the article that you're publishing or the blog that you're about to post, do they relate to things that your target persona is going to be searching on? This is where you need to really think about how you're joining up your content with the people that you're trying to attract time and time again. You know, if you can keep these things really, really integrated, think about integration, think about joining up your content with the story, with the thing that you want to say, with what your target customer wants to read, then you're going to be on the road to success in your search engine optimization. The ideal blog or news article has to have at least one image. I mean, I would generally suggest two or three images. One is a lead image, which again, if you're posting to social media, to signpost a link from social media back to the article on your website, which again is great practice. More inbound links to your website are a good thing. Then maybe use the same image for the article in the social media post that you do, so that everything seems to be joined up. So when somebody sees the article in social media, they can say, hey, I've seen that article because I've seen that same image. So there's a consistency of that journey. You can also think about, for appealing to the search engine, but also again as part of your customer optimization, think about interlinking each piece of content that you publish on your website, blog, news post, product information, service information, stories, whatever they happen to be. Think of interlinking the text with other articles and other content on your website of a similar story and a similar subject. So if you are talking about your product A, then think in the content that you're writing about product A, think of all the other places on the website where product A can be seen or can be enjoyed, so that you're starting to link in the text product A with other areas in the site where product A appears. Now, of course, from a search engine perspective, this is great because it shows the relevance of the content you're producing and it joins up. You know, it's called the World Wide Web for a reason. What you're trying to do on your website is to create a web of content beautifully and seamlessly linked. And again, the search engines will reward you for that, and they'll put you in a relevant position on the search engine rankings. And this will certainly help with your ranking position. So think about that and how you're actually going to be creating that, because that is a really important factor when it comes to actually, you know, integrating both the content with Google Analytics, and generally it's going to be Google Analytics that you're going to be looking at, and we'll cover that in a later episode. And think about how we're going to look at that and integrate that into the overall story and the journey. Because once you've appealed to the search engines, then you've brought somebody to your front door. So you've optimized for the search engine. So now what we need to do is think about the kind of positioning on the page and the kind of places where you put the content on your website, such that the journey for the customer is, you know, ultimately engaging, so that people can sort of, they know where they are, but they can also, and really importantly, they can see where they need to go next. Because one of the really important things with this, and you know, I've used the word journey a number of times already in this particular series podcast, and we've seen this one a number of times in the past as well. And what is really important is that every time you publish some content on any page, be it a blog, a story, a news item, product or service page, you think about the journey and where you are trying to take people next. In other words, having read that piece of content, what is the call to action? And this is a really important phrase. Think about the call to action for each and every single piece of content you publish. It is absolutely vital that when somebody is reading a page of content on your website, that there is a specific single, and I emphasize single, call to action. Now, the reason it's important there's a single call to action is because on your site, you will obviously be having a whole range of different options for them to click on next. In other words, there will be a navigation bar, there will be a menu bar on your site, probably at the top, but it could also be in the footer, where they can take the journey and the choices of their journey, you know, the choices for themselves. But where you've already started to choreograph a customer journey, this is a step-by-step process that you want them to go through. So you've delivered already the route map that you want them to follow, because you're trying to get them to a predetermined endpoint so that when they reach it, they then behave in a certain way. In other words, that they buy a particular product or service, or they make a phone call to you, or they send you an email, or they complete a form. You know, you decide on that conversion point. So every point on your website needs ultimately to take them on the next step in that journey to reaching that point. So think about, for every single page that you publish, every single article that you publish, where is it that you want them to go next? It's really important, really, really important that there is a single clear call to action. Now, with a call to action, you can decide, is this a button? Is this a final concluding statement in the content that I publish? Is this a big banner? It has to be highlighted. You need to make it really very clear and very obvious. And if you wanted to, for example, color code that, that could also work very nicely, because then intuitively they will understand that there is a route that they're following. So if they see a big blue button, and blue is a very engaging color, and people often think it's red, but red is an alert. It is often blue that is a very, very clear color. And again, if that fits with the tone and style of your website, then more the better. But you can decide what it is. But make that route map, make those clear click by click by clicks, make them very, very obvious and very, very clear, so that if you can then keep them on that journey, so that they recognize as they go to the next page, you can recognize that that is a point that you wanted them to go to, then, you know, it's making their life easier, but also it's keeping them very much en route with where you want them to get to. Also, make it very clear that they do have actually choices, and if they're looking then to maybe view a related product or service, or maybe they're looking to look for, you know, related other content, you know, having things categorized and tagged again is a very, very good way of optimizing your site for the customer. So some people will be happy to have their hand held and to move through the website in a seamless way, but other people will want to take that journey themselves. And this is something that you can really start to work with as you start to sort of monitor, and we will cover Google Analytics and how you can monitor content in a future episode. But one of the really important things is that you do give choice. So for those people who are looking to choreograph their own journey, then it is about categorizing and tagging the content that you produce such that they are able then to see related content in that same way. For some people, though, obviously it is important that you lead them hand by hand, and particularly if this is the first time that they've been to your website. So if they don't know the experience of your website and they don't know where things sit, then it's obviously going to be quite important that you handhold them. So think about offering both. So categorized and tagged information that they can then take a similar journey through the site, but also then for those who aren't familiar with your products and services, and maybe this is very early in their customer journey with you, hold the hand by providing a single call to action, taking them to the next point in the journey, which is one step closer to the ultimate destination that is going to work both for them and for you. Now, I talked a little bit about at the beginning of this particular podcast about the idea of having the ultimate position. So this kind of position zero in the search engine rankings. Now, you may well have seen it if you've been onto Google in recent months. You'll have seen that Google presents, before the organic search rankings, it presents what they call a Google snippet. And the snippet is an answer, and it's generally a numbered answer, step-by-step answer, to to a question that's been posed. Most people, and a significant proportion of people now, search in Google by a question. So they don't put a statement in or a long tail phrase in, they actually put a question mark at the end. And so what Google's doing is it's trying to match really relevant content on the web, so websites who actually directly answer questions, with a really, really premium position for free. And you don't have to pay for this. This is not a sponsored link. This is a free link that if you're correctly and logically and intuitively answering step by step in a numbered way, in other words, this is how you deliver the answer to this question. So it might be, how do I pick apples from trees? A really random thing I just thought of off the top of my head. I'm sure you can come up with much more relevant questions that your particular personas would be looking for. But if the question was, how do I pick an apple from a tree? Then the answer in the content on a particular dedicated page named and titled with that question as the leading question, the leading header for that question, is that you would start by, how do I pick apples from a tree? Question mark. Point one, I would first get a ladder. Point two, I would then start to walk up the ladder. Point three, I would stretch for the best looking apple on that tree. Number four, I would pick the apple from the tree. Number five, I would put it in a safe container. Number six, I would walk down the ladder. Number seven, I would examine the apple at the bottom of the tree to decide whether I want to eat it. Now, of course, this is a slightly bizarre, made up, on the spur of the moment kind of example, but you can see the principle here. It's a numbered way of answering the question. And if a lot of your content on your website is helping customers answer the questions that they would be asking, and again, think back to your target persona, if you're answering their questions in a step-by-step numbered way, and you actually include as the title of that particular question the title of the page, it's the same thing, then you stand a chance, if nobody else is answering that question on the web, of being in this Google snippet position zero, which is a very high profile, first thing that you see position. Now, my prediction through the rest of 2018 and through 2019 is that these are going to become ever more relevant. And if you wrap into that, and again, we've touched on mobility and geographic location as being a really important thing in content for the likes of Google. If you can wrap into those questions the geographic locations where you're present, I would predict that in the not too distant future, we're going to see geography built into some of these questions and to some of the ratings of the way that websites are answering them. So think about your target persona. Think about not only the call to action and the customer journey, but can you answer in the content that you publish step-by-step answers to the questions that they would be asking? And this isn't just the random general public. This is your target customer persona, because after all, those are the people we are trying to attract and target. So those are some of the things I would like you to focus on, because those are some of the things that are really the hot topics for 2018, to optimize your website, both for the engagement with the customer, but also to enable your target customer to find them. So remember that when you're deciding on your content and the pages and the structure and the journey, it is all about what you feel they would benefit from seeing and what they want to see. It is not just about what you want to say, it's what they want to hear. So if you can do that, if you can think about answering these questions, if you can remember blogs and people are a really productive way of keeping your content really fresh and really current, then you stand a very, very strong chance of positioning your website appropriately in the eyes of your target customer, but at the same time making sure that when those customers do arrive, they get an optimized experience. I've been Neil Wilkins. I hope you found this very, very useful. Stay tuned in the Digital Live 2018 series, and you'll be in touch with more thinking. The next episode will look at some of the best practice in social media through 2018. So I look forward to sharing that with you. Subscribe to the channel. Search in iTunes for Neil Wilkins Podcast, and you'll find it, and it will be there ready for you to subscribe to. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this helpful, and I'll see you again in the next episode.